Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I've had one too many cigarettes burning up my lungs. Had the taste of one too many lips hanging off my tongue. Oh, oh, oh. Sunday morning getting high, drinking here alone. Thinking up a brand new alibi for not coming home. Oh, oh.
Celebrate people who, like the founder of this show, recognize that they are on a dangerous path and make the difficult adjustment to be an amazing person. Share poems that reveal the duality of vulnerability and strength. Capture the internal battle of the demon and the angel on your shoulders. Deep poetry, thoughtful commentary, and fun chatter for sinners, saints, and everyone in between. Welcome to Part Sinner, Part Saint. And we are coming to you from Late Night Poets, which is a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be a part of the group to participate, but it does help because we post the poems in the chat, and you can get the full experience if you can read along with us. It definitely helps if you'd like to be a commenter. But I have contests every week for your chance to be on the show, and I definitely welcome new writers, new callers, and we're definitely happy to have you here. Our phone number is 657-383-0024 if you would like to participate. And our theme this week was inspired by a prompt, and it says, "He ran his hands over my past, lingering over the dents and worn edges of my heart. And when I thought he'd run away like the others had, he told me I was a warrior, and that I'd never fight another battle alone. So that was by Alpha. And there are a couple of people on All Poetry who kind of jokingly call me Alpha, but that is not me. This is a different poet called Alpha. So I do not take credit for this quote. I believe we have Pam and Frank with us. How are you guys doing?
I will bring Frank on, and I am doing
thank you,
good,
Pam.
And welcome, Frank.
Hello there, my friends.
Hello, Frank. I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, I try to make it, my dear. The hour for me at times is what catches me at times.
Oh, I know. And that's why we're going to put you first, because I know you are sleepy. Plus, you're a caller, and callers always get the special spot. So whenever you're ready, you can share your poem with us.
All right, thank you, my dear. I don't remember the quote exactly, but I know it was inspired by the quote. I believe it's I don't have the quote. I do apologize. I don't remember the quote that you had for the contest itself, but I did enter this piece. I call it In the Winds of Time. So it goes like this. Mi amor, I hold you in my arms, never to let you go. And we glance at each other so intimately. The sparkles on your eyes reflect a beauty as we kiss and moisten our yearning lips. Without your love, I am a sun with no moon, a forlorn star without its twinkling animation, for an anguished soul with no place to go, a haunting ghost wandering shoreline. Through the tempest and the rising surge, our love has blossomed into a ripe spring. You are a guiding light leading onwards to the lush fields of the delicate violets. When the nights get much colder, it is you who is my gentle blanket warming my body. When I'm all alone to count the many stars, I look up at the sky and search just for you. In the twilight, I can see your faint image as it illuminates into a refulgence of light. And I find you there within a distant place before the found constellation of the universe. I shall not vanish into the horizon of a sunset, leaving you in the sad shuttle of the darkness. For I shall be there to hold you tightly, mi amor, and to not let you go to the sea to drift away. You are the magical star, pleasant always, a priceless jewel polished with my affection. Your radiant glow lights up the new moonlight, for we are lost as lovers in the winds of time. Yo no sé lo que es vivir sin tu amor. Nunca podré contemplar tu ausencia cuando te busco en esa profundidad donde la noche espera nuestro encuentro. Mi amor, mi flor. I don't know what it's like to live without your love. I will never be able to contemplate your absence when I look for you in that depth where the night awaits our tryst. End of poem. That's the translation there.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you, Frank. Wonderful poem and a great read. And I love hearing it in your... Is it Spanish or Italian? I'm terrible.
No, Spanish. It's Spanish.
Spanish, okay.
I thought it was, and then I was questioning myself. I do speak Italian, but that's Spanish. Spanish is my tongue.
It's Spanish. So beautiful. I don't totally understand it, but I know French and some words are kind of similar, so I get that, but it sounded so beautiful. Love it. I really liked the way you described the connection here, like a gentle blanket warming my body, and the sky, everything with the stars was wonderful, searching for them in the sky, and the references to the constellations and that connection that, you know, you can see those stars no matter where in the world you are and feel that love. It was just, like, transcendent, absolutely beautiful. You have such elegant language. Beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. I do appreciate that, my dear.
Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, first of all, wonderful read. I have to agree, beautiful language here. I like the four-line stanzas. Wonderful use of imagery. For you are a guiding light leading onward the lush fields of the delicate violet, and the nights get much colder as you, who is my gentle blanket warming my body. I like how, as a Faziana mentioned, there's that connection between the two people, and it's a connection that's so strong that they're like the sun and the moon to each other, that the whole idea of, you know, using as a metaphor, not letting go of someone because you know if you let go, they will drift out to sea. And, you know, there's a kind of yearning there to make sure that somebody is always with you and you are always with them. So excellent write and very well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pam. I'll try to stay on a little bit longer, at least from perhaps up to 12. I'll see if I can stay there. I'll give it a start there. Simply because of the fact that I live with roommates here, so unfortunately, that's the dilemma I have as well at this hour.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Never any pressure, but it's always wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, I'll try to stay a little bit, a few minutes more, and I'll tell you in advance if I have to go. I don't like to go without advising. Bob telling.
Sounds good. This next one is by Blatant B, and it's called War Wounds. Like lines on your hands, every wound on your body tells a story of where you've been. It represents all you stand for, like a tattoo mapping out your thoughts. Read like crucible. It outlines the need to be appreciated because the human is fragile. We are meticulously put together and then taken apart as life's war wounds edge in your skin. Although fully clothed, a masterpiece is observed when you truly reveal yourself to find chiseled graphs on your canvas. Only a true appreciate will be able to analyze you and say, you'll never endure alone. As time peeled away your dignity. End poem. That is beautiful. And it's interesting, it's from the opposite perspective of the quote. So in the quote, it's from the woman's perspective as the man sees her scars and accepts her, calls her warrior and says she'll never have to fight alone. And in this, it's... he's the one observing this in his partner, I would assume. It's just absolutely beautiful the way that he recognizes this as not like a flaw that he's seeing, but that it kind of maps the story. I love when he calls it mapping out your thoughts and describes it as like a tattoo. So it's not... described in a way that's like ugly. It's made it appreciated that even though we're fragile and those scars reflect that, it just makes you even more precious because like the fact that life is fleeting makes it more, I don't know, exciting sometimes, or exciting is not the right word, but like there's something powerful about mortality and knowing that you have a short time, and there's something about knowing that you've been through bad times that makes the good times shine even harder. I like that at the end that he repeats that part, you'll never endure alone, which was in the quote, time peeled away your dignity is quite the line to ponder. I thought it was really well done. Thank you, B. Frank, would you like to comment?
Well, I thought this was an excellent piece here. I love the personification there, what he describes here. There is a sense of reference here for that particular, the person that he encompasses here in this poem here. The fact of all wounds, the wounds in itself is a very powerful thing when you analyze and you realize what wounds are. They seem to be more internal than external here. But I do appreciate the fact that he... he gave us here in this line, we are meticulously put together, taken apart of life, wars, wounds, edging your skin. There's a sense of connection there, the sense of admission of fragility there. He says, because the human is fragile. I almost felt that this was like a painter with a palette there and his canvas there, and he's just painting with his words here, using as a metaphor here to describe his sentiments and expressed in a manner that's very poetic.
Well said, Frank. I'm glad you pointed out that part too, the chiseled graphs on your canvas. It's very creative. And I definitely like what you said there. Pam, what were you thinking?
I really like this. I like how he looks at this person, this woman with her scars, her emotional and physical scars, and sees a work of art. And it's not that he sees what has happened to her as beautiful, but rather that she has become a stronger and beautiful person for making it through this tragedy. And I do like that he fit in the line from the quote near the end. As time peeled away your dignity is really an intriguing line. It almost, it kind of, I guess vulnerability is the word that comes to mind for me. And I also like I like that he puts in the we, because a lot of it is about the observations he makes about her. And says, we are meticulously put together and then taken apart as life's war wounds edged in your skin. So it becomes about two people who have both been wounded and are healing together. At least that's how I read it. So excellent write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. I liked how you interpreted that as both of them. I was more thinking that he was talking about it like broadly, as in like people in general. But I like it if they're healing together too. That's cool.
But yeah, you have a good point too. It could have been that. So I like that about poetry, the open to interpretation thing.
Very true. It's really fun to see the different possibilities within, one sentence could mean different things to different people. And that's kind of exciting because it gets you all thinking and hearing what other people see in it, opens up your mind, even if it's not exactly what the poet intended. Sometimes it can expand beyond that purpose.
Absolutely.
Pam, would you please read the next poem by Asama Chiba?
I would be happy to. All right, let me just click on this. This is Sacrifice by Asama Chiba, and it goes like this. The look in his eyes said it all, the touch of his hand, loud devotion, regretting his past life before they met, the chaos, the madness, the shady emotions. From now on, he will become a monk in the shrine of love. He will offer himself for the sake of someone more important than his fierce desire. He is ready for the ultimate sacrifice. She walks the path, shielded by his soul. End poem.
Well read. Thank you, Pam. And thank you, Asama, for that poem. And Frank, would you start our comments, please?
Yeah, I'm not used to seeing much of a brevity, but this brevity here has a strong impact here. The gist is well conveyed, it's understood. I just love the simplicity here in this poem here. The reference, of course, to a beloved one here. You know, just the thought of the look in someone's eyes. There's always thought to convey, you know, we talk about devotion and love. We tend to see the eyes that they can fool us at times, but they also can speak the truth. And that depth of truth is something that I see in this piece here. When she mentions, I mean, she does mention here, it says, the madness of shady emotions, from now on he will become a monk in the shrine of love. There is a sense of spirituality in this piece, obviously. But I do love the fact that when she ends this, where she says he's ready for the ultimate sacrifice, she walks a path sheltered by his soul. So the aspect of spirituality is very reverent in this piece here. And I would have to say that it does bring a great sense of sacrifice here when it comes to the life that one takes when they enter the spiritual realm.
Excellent comment. Thank you. I kind of saw it as he used to be kind of a player, and he, you know, was very much a ladies' man and out there and being with lots of people. And now he's found someone who he values above all of that, and he kind of regrets the way that he behaved in the past. Someone more important than his fierce desires. So it's like he's decided that he's going to be monogamous, which he didn't expect to be, and he's sacrificing his kind of wild ways because he feels a spiritual connection with his new partner. I'm saying he, but actually it's not. Oh, yeah, it does say he, okay. I was like, maybe it's actually a woman, but no, this is a man. what assumptions am I making? But it does
well,
say
that's why
he.
I said her husband, because I believe she's probably, I believe the reference there, if, I'm not going to get personal here, but I perhaps it is a husband that she wants on.
Yes, that's entirely possible. Pam, what did you think of it?
This is absolutely a beautiful brevity. Asana is one of my favorites. She has this way of bringing out emotion in a rite. And I like how she tells a story in this of someone who does have that past and then finds that someone who guides them, I guess would be the right word, or because they know this person, they want to be a better person. You know, from now on he'll become a monk in the shrine of love. I really liked that part because it's not the whole idea that he's going to obviously become sexually innocent because he's becoming married, but rather that all his devotion will be to her. Now, it does, for me, bring up the question, what about those people who never meet that special someone? If you have immorally wrong behavior, shouldn't you be sorry for it, whether or not you meet that special someone? I'm sorry, that's just a thought that came to my head. But the poem, yeah, absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. This next poem is by Thomas Blacken. And Frank, would you be willing to read that for me?
Yes, of course. This is by a good friend, Thomas Blacken. It's called Sometimes, and it goes like this. Sometimes it's not like the other times, or times when there is a longing, for times past or one long gone, or the quintessential Roman, or time of times in half a time. The thing is, we are half elevated in it, and other times submerged in it. But most times we do not even notice its fluid vaporize as ether and past, with each uncountered devil that hides itself inside the unsung details. End of poem.
Wonderful read, thank you. Pam, would you like to start the comments?
Oh, absolutely. It looks like you are just going to have some wonderful brevities tonight. Honestly, this one was so neatly lined up that I was reading downwards to see if it was an acrostic. It's not, obviously, but
me
too. Just that neatly lined up. let's see. Some of the parts I especially like, I mean, it's great all the way through, but the for times past or one long gone are the quintessentials, Roman. Now, I like that. That was a great way to say almost the same thing that the last poem was saying, except for, you know, using, because, you know, you have the how the ancient Romans were known for their very wild parties with lots of debauchery and you know, obviously probably not every Roman, but, you know, there's obviously quite a few ancient Roman senators or leaders that were known for their sexual appetites and their parties. So I thought that was a creative part. I like its fluid vaporized as ether and passed with each uncounted devil that hides itself inside the unsung details. And, you know, I think what I really like about that is that life in general has a lot of unsung details that we miss out on, whether good or bad, because we're just not observing. Wonderful thought-provoking brevity and very well done.
I like what you said there about the unsung details, and that's true. Good or bad, there are so many details that get overlooked. And the little things tend to be what actually really ends up mattering. I liked that contrast, too, about, like, how submerged in it you can be in that longing, or it can just be the little things. And those little droplets that have been vaporized slowly get to you. You know, if it's foggy, you get damp, even if you're not swimming in the lake. So you still have that effect, whether it hits you a tiny bit at a time or whether you've jumped in. The pain, the sadness, the whatever it is in that intense longing, you can feel it in different ways. I really liked uncounted devil, because it's like, it's not just like you recognize that there are negative things, that there are negative people in your life. Sometimes you don't even realize the effects that are happening. And I thought that was really smart, having it as uncounted. Frank, you read it for us, but what would you like to say about it?
Yeah, it almost got a feeling that it was a very, I would say it's a very creative piece here. There is a sense of a riddle, you know, in the sense that when you look at the reference, I mean, there's something about that sometimes it carries on to times, goes on to times. There's a mention of constant reference to time, you know. It almost seems that this poem is a riddle in itself to be solved. Because in the end it says inside the unsung details. There is something about this brevity here that does make you ponder. It's not just a simplistic poem as it might seem. There is some broader meaning to this piece here. And I think when it's with this whole notion of time is what I think the gist surmises here. I know the reference to the Roman reference there, but as I said before, does perhaps lead us, I wouldn't say lead us to a different aspect of thinking, but I pretty much felt that this poem was like a riddle, ready to be solved here. And I think the thing that the clues lied in the reference, the constant reference to time. I thought it was a masterful club of bees.
That is so interesting, you know, a riddle within it. It does. I counted it. There's 7 times that it says time. I just said it again. It repeats time 7 times. That it does feel like there's something really important about time here that I don't know if I'm fully grasping. And I do enjoy that you refer to it as a riddle. And I think that's true of a lot of poetry. Is you have to unravel it. And it takes a few different reads and sometimes a few different perspectives to get into that layer beyond the riddle. So it's too bad that Thomas isn't with us tonight to give some insight into what he's hiding in there. Definitely an interesting one.
I know 7 Indeed. Is supposed to be an important number in many cultures. I know from the Bible it's considered a very important number. And then, you know, in numerology and in other cultures, I don't know exactly what it means. I think it means, like, something to do with wholeness or completeness, but don't quote me on that. All I know is that in many cultures and religions find 7 to be an important number.
No.
Yeah, it seems like it's used quite a bit, like the 7 deadly sins, and yeah, there's a lot of 7s, and there's a lot of 3s and things too. 7s and 3s
yeah.
seem to be key.
All right, my friends, I've got to run now. I just thought I'd stop by and just spend some time here with you and both of you.
Well, we appreciate
Frank. I thought
the show
was tomorrow evening. I wasn't aware that it was this evening. I would say evening, this night. Well, it's midnight now. But I thought I'd stay a little bit in company with both of you. I wish you'd get more. We put a call at this hour. Have a good one,
okay.
My friend.
That's okay. Wonderful to have you here. Thank you, Frank. Good night.
I wanted to support you, my dear. Take care.
Appreciate that. Phew. And then there were 2.
Right?
Thank you for being
here. As long as we don't get down to, and then there was 1, everything will be fine.
This is true. Oh, wow. It's been quite the day, though. my work thought that they had a break-in. So I got called in. We're closed because it's a stat. Turns out nobody actually broke in, but it was like we have these automated doors, and they open automatically when we open at 10. So it's a holiday, and they're not supposed to open, but they did.
Oh, my goodness.
So no staff were there, and people must have gone in because then they set off the alarms, but they ran away before I got there, and nothing
right.
was missing. So I think they just kind of panicked that, like, oh, no, we're not
That's
supposed
the, yeah,
to
they probably
here.
Thought it was open and then just panicked when they heard the alarm. That's what it sounds like. But, man,
yeah,
that's
so.
Quite the adventure.
It happens all the time on holidays, and every time the security company's like, we're going to fix it, it's fine, it's not going to happen this time, but every time. So I got there, and the police were there, and they were just like, we don't have keys. So I'm like, well, it's open.
Oh, my goodness.
So they went around and made
well,
sure that it was safe, and then they left.
Into.
And, yeah.
So,
it's better than not – than. At least we didn't get anything stolen, but the door wouldn't shut. So it's just, I don't know, I'm frazzled today because I spent an hour trying to make the door shut, but it doesn't want to.
I completely understand that, yeah. My adventure was for the day was my son got out the front door, my son Jaren, and so, of course, the dog followed him. And the dog went one way, and Jaren went the other way. And, of course, I had to take priority, obviously, of getting Jaren. So I got Jaren. And because I'm alone, because, you know, Nessa went to, you know, spend most of the weekend with a friend's family. And so I locked him in the bedroom and then went to go get Bella figure, and I wouldn't go too far. Like, you know, I'd stay within, you know, that I could see the house distance. Thankfully, she stopped at this yard, but here's the thing. So I was chasing her, and she is not an obedient St. Bernard, but she finally stopped at this one yard that had a whole bunch of dog shit for her to sniff around at, and, you know, and there was dog toys there. The problem being, and thankfully there was no dog out there, whatever dog this was, and I have not seen it, it has shit bigger than my St. Bernard's.
Oh, wow.
And so and she didn't have a leash on. I had grabbed her leash, and I grabbed a hold of her collar. I got her leash on, but she wanted to run. And so basically she went flying. I went down to my knees, and as of right now, my rib cage is still aching. My knees are still aching. My back and my arms are aching. It's all like a muscle thing. Like, obviously, nothing was broken. But basically, I'm just not a real, you know, muscular. I'm not muscular at all. So basically, it took everything I have to keep this dog from running off. And then finally when she realized she wasn't going to get anywhere, because once she realizes she's not going to get anywhere, she'll walk beside you. The problem is
right.
she thinks she has any chance of running away from you. She freaking will put all her weight and effort into it.
Oh, and that's a big dog, so she could really drag you along.
She's small for a Saint Bernard, but she's still a big dog. So, yeah. And, of course, you know, I get back home and it's like still have to take care of, you know, regular stuff like bedtime and, you know, all that. So, it all worked out in the end. Everybody got home. Police officer, of course, was out there. I swear to goodness, my neighbors, as soon as they see my dog or kid leave, they're like, I swear they must just pick up their phones or something.
Really?
I think there's some of them out there. I can't say it's all of them, but all I know is that either that or it was just a really big coincidence that, you know, as soon as I started chasing my dog and kid, there's a police officer. But,
there's this woman
goodness.
Chasing a kid. Yeah.
Right? It looks like a scene from a movie. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. But it's nice to be here because, you know, it's good to have that wind-down time with poetry and conversation and all that. So, I
agree
with that.
Inner Sanctum is our next poet. Searchlight by Inner Sanctum. His eyes revealed me as a searchlight finds a cloud in the dark of night. Somehow he saw right through the layers of my tingling skin and scanned the filing cabinet I thought hidden in the dimly lit recesses of my soul. My flaws glowed like the metal on the edge of a knife, but he discovered them, caressed them, did not bleed. I cowered from his gaze, feeling the wintry winds of shame battered my body. But his heart's hearth lit a fire and invited me to join it in understanding's warm and gentle embrace. End poem. Wow, there are some lines I really love in this. Where is it now? That he did not bleed. So he caresses the knife and does not bleed. And she, to me that says, like, she's kind of a prickly person, maybe, and not in a mean way, but just, like, as, like, defenses are up and maybe has a sharpness to her metaphorically because of the things that she's been through, because of those emotional scars. And he managed to be with her and not be put off by that and not be hurt by her walls, to understand them and embrace them, to not make her feel the shame. She starts to feel the shame, but his heart's hearth, I really like that. Hearth is a word that I really enjoy, and the alliteration with heart just really works nicely. Heart's hearth, just that as something about a hearth is so warming, different than any other kind of heat. That fire there is a very special kind of thing that you just want to gather around and feel that glow. And I think that really says something about the person when they are like a hearth. The filing cabinet, even though I slipped on that word and said filling, is really interesting too, because it's like you think that you have all of these things about yourself tucked away, but he saw right into it. He found that information or those parts of her that she didn't realize were not quite on display. But I thought that was really clever. Pam, would you like to comment?
Absolutely. I have to agree. This has some just really wonderful, clever parts. And let's see. His eyes revealed me as a searchlight finds a cloud in the dark of the night. Somehow he saw right through the layers of my tingling skin. And I like that you went with the tingling skin because to me that whole idea of when you think of an animal that's been abused too much and the haunches, the hair on the back goes up and they just instinctively seem, animals instinctively seem to know who's a good person and who's not a good person. And so I like that how automatically, because like of what she's been through, you know, she gets all prickly. I also like the filing cabinet thing, the idea that what you thought you had hidden, and this, you know, person brings out and wants to see. Very cool that she used a line from a Meatloaf song and then added on to it. The idea that he discovered her metal sharp edges, caressed them, and did not bleed really speaks to me about the whole idea of almost like a soulmate type connection where, you know, the person isn't scared away by what you become because other people have hurt you. So just an excellent write and very well done.
I like what you said about the animals instinctively knowing who's good. It's true. I tend to, like, judge people based on how animals respond to them sometimes subconsciously because animals pick up the energy. Like, they might not know, like, their secrets or anything, but they can tell if you're, like, if you're afraid, they can know that. So generally they can tell if you're, like, lying. I think they can, like, maybe hear your heart race or something. There seems to be something where they really are empathic to, like, whatever is feeling going on. I do love that about animals in a lot of way because they, I mean, like, if you're sick, they know. And they, like, come and try to take care of you. But I think that the fact that it was connected like this and, like, that kind of, like, animal sense of like he could tell what was if that things had been going wrong with her and she could tell she could trust him. There's like this connection. I think you're right. It's like a soulmate kind of moment.
Absolutely.
Very well done. I think we should have a SoundCloud for Jaskaran.
All right. I believe we do. Let me just get over there. All right. Find it. All right, you ready for me to push play?
Ready.
Speak into the Republican. Roar into changes at you. It is up to you whether you can turn them into your pity or autobiography. A sound agony is hidden with my smile. My concluding words, as partner sees, there is clear waterfall in the ripples. Facing everyone's heart, like falling in pine needles. You may not understand what I say, but I can move mountains, like an oak, lifting right from a river. Is my soul saying anything? I may not be able to shake a leg, but a fretting butterfly comes walking down on a bright skin. To a cool breeze, my goosebumps, saying they keep things in a kitchen wedding. I eat with difficulty, but I clean the cells of the star people by cows gently hugging us, dogs mourning tears. My sweat soaked hands ticking humid droplets through monsters of the world that I'm not an hour of hope, because if you have an indomitable will and you refuse to knee down against him, the serum, a name will be engraved in heart of everyone. That's a good. Thank you.
Wow, that was a powerful read. Thank you so much, Jaskaran. And it says in his author's notes, Wilson's disease, a genetic disorder in which excess copper builds up in the body. Symptoms are typically related to the brain and liver. So this was part of his experience with that. I thought that this was really a powerful poem. I like that he talks about quietness seeps like a clear waterfall. And there's something about the space between words, that quietness that is clear in that it's translucent. You can't, it doesn't block you, it doesn't get your attention always, but it's still flowing, and there's still, like, he has those thoughts, and maybe he can't always express them, which he's saying with his, when he says, my confusing words, but they are still there, and they are still piercing loved ones' hearts. I really like the way that he described that. He says he may not be understood, but he can move mountains, and I really like that he's pointing out that he still has power even when he may not always feel like it. And he talks about physical limitations with things like eating, and yet he will quench the thirst of love-starved people because he will reach out and he will be a connection. I thought that that was so beautiful, and he ends with that message of hope, and I really, really appreciate that. I thought this was a really inspiring poem that has a raw honesty to it and a wonderful spirit. Pam, would you like to comment?
Absolutely. First of all, I have to say I really appreciate Jeff Graham and how often he writes for our contests and the shows, and it's just been really wonderful to see him open up and express himself as a poet. And I like how raw and honest he is with this, right, and about having Wilson's disease. Because now me, I had heard of Wilson's disease only because it was featured in a couple episodes of House MD, and I was a huge fan of that show. But I'm sure most people have not heard of it. So I oftentimes feel like when we suffer through something and we have it, we're able to express poetry. Not only can you reach out to people emotionally, if he expresses in this poem, show people love, show them, the emotional side, but also offer up an education to people who may not have even heard of such a rare disease as Wilson's disease. I like how visceral he gets with the my sweat-soaked hands, trickling humid droplets, do my answer the world, that I have not run out of hope. And the fact that hope is in all capital letters, so we know how important this is, this word is to him. And, wow, my confusing words, as quietness seeps like a clear waterfall into the ripples, piercing loved ones' hearts like fall green pine needles. You may not understand that I utter, but I can move mountains like an oak lifting light from a river. So we all have a certain power within us, and I know I oftentimes, of course, a poem like this obviously makes me think of my young boy, Jaren, with autism, who doesn't speak, but, oh my goodness, has the most joyful smile you have ever seen in any child. And, a poem like this truly, truly moves me. And I admire when someone doesn't just crawl into a corner, but rather spreads their wings wide and shows the world what possibilities of hope is out there. So excellent night and very well done.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate him giving a voice to Wilson's disease. I think that that's really important for people to hear and you know, it creates an empathy and understanding that even when people maybe have trouble communicating or seem like they aren't as fully engaged and able to participate, they actually have a lot going for them, and not to underestimate people. One of my favorite books is The Color of Silence, and it's actually like a kid's book, but it's about this girl who is nonverbal, and I can't remember what she has wrong with her now, but she has some sort of disability where she has trouble moving, so she's in a wheelchair and she can't speak, and people always treat her like a small child, and in her mind, she's a teenager, and when she finally gets this new technology where it's a machine that speaks for her, and she can, I think she uses her eyes to push the buttons. I've seen this used in real life, and it's so cool. And she finally gets to talk to people, and they realize she's so much smarter than any of them gave her credit for. And it was just, I don't know, this just reminded me of that.
Oh, wow.
Just in his enthusiasm. It was such a powerful story, and this just brings up that same kind of feeling of like, don't count people out. There's still so much more that he can do. Pam, would you like to read the poem by Reason?
I would be happy to. And I don't recognize the name Reason, but I'm always happy to read pretty much any poet. All right. This is Embracing Earth by Reason, and it goes like this. Early on in my privileged life, my parents gave wise advice to me. Be all you can be, but reckon strife. Relish every opportunity. Acknowledge strains and stress may be rife. Count it a joy to work for your home instead of starting out in heaven. Never give in to hardship like some. Give in to God and look for reason. Embrace the earth as his creation. Accept that it is less than ideal. Realize this world's aggravation tries our faith. Our success will reveal. Heaven is worth first deprivation. End poem. And that one is definitely an acrostic.
Yes. And, you know, acrostics are harder to write than a lot of people give them credit for. I know it's one of the first types of poems that I learned how to write, and when I was younger, it seemed like a simplified form, but actually, when you try to make like a good poem out of it that works and flows and isn't just individual lines, it is quite challenging. I entered a contest recently where I had to do it, and I was like, I don't remember it being this hard.
Right. Have you tried yet the shadow acrostic? I think that's what it's called. I'd have to relook it up. But it's the
is that
acrostic.
Where it has to work on both sides?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that is so hard.
That one, it is.
I did that I think we did a shadow. We talked about it when I was doing a collaboration in the disability group, and it was kind of a sneak attack because we were doing a battle, the girls against the boys, and Beast had this idea that individually they wouldn't notice, but if we put all of ours together at the end, that it would spell something out. And man, that was challenging. And the guys didn't even notice.
Oh, all that hard work. Well,
we're like, did you see? Did you
guys.
See? Oh, man.
Yeah, that's like dying
and no one voted on that, so I don't even know who won that battle because everyone was
funny.
In it.
That was a clever idea, though.
Yeah. I thought this was really cool. she does make it work as an actual poem, despite having the limitations of choosing those letters, which is a challenge. And I liked Realize This World's Aggravation, you know, recognizing that there is going to be negative things, and that is part of life that we have to accept, and we can try to improve, but there's a certain level of acceptance that things aren't going to be perfect. That's necessary to function and get on with your life and be happy. So I appreciate that. Would you like to comment, Pam?
Absolutely, yes. On a technical level, this is a spot on. All of a sudden, I'm blanking out. What were we saying it was? The acrostic, sorry.
Acrostic.
You know, the word, yes, where nothing seems forced. It all flows naturally. And I do like that idea of acknowledging, you know, relishing life to the fullest, you know, loving it to the fullest, but, you know, acknowledging that there's always going to be those struggles. And I really appreciate and enjoy this poem, and hope we get to hear more from Legion. So very well done.
Agreed. I think that's the first time she's entered one of my contests. I didn't recognize her, so hopefully we'll get some more. Now, this next poet, I believe you will recognize, Victoria Frost, and this is called I Do Still. Stand straight, attention to the front, eyes forward, focused on your job, your mission, your service. Your uniform is sharp, pressed, your face chiseled, and oh, your lips, plump, soft, I know just how kissable. Your arms are strong, safe, secure in you, protected. And when we make love, you hold me, cherished, pressed against you, marveling in the gentle strength. Here is my home. But your duty has taken that from me. Walking now brings on pain. Though many look, stare, judging you, pushed in a wheelchair from injuries not readily visible. Depression has covered your face, a thick black beard covering your bright smile, stealing the joy from your eyes, now a dull gray. Strength has been lost to nerve damage, lamenting the atrophy of a once strong body as I open jars or bottle waters in your stead. I didn't sign up for this, to be the strength to carry you. This was meant to be a partnership that you were unwillingly stripped of. To chase our daughters as you sit on the patio, eyes on a phone, so as to not see the disappointment of a toddler who doesn't understand. Daddy can't. But I cherish the moments still too, resting your head on my shoulder as I wash your hair, helping you in the kitchen, so vibrant with life. And even if I knew how you'd be taken from me, I'd still say, I do. End poem. Wow, Victoria, this is so powerful, and like I feel choked up. It says in the AN, my husband is 100% service-connected disabled veteran. He often asks me if I still love him. He tells me I can get rid of him, and each time it breaks my heart. And even if life isn't always easy, and this isn't what we thought our future would be when I said I do, I would still say I do, knowing what I know now, if given the chance to do life over. Wow. And that is a statement to her love, that even though things are not the way that they had hoped, and there is a struggle for him and for her, and debt for their children, that she is still completely committed to him. I think this is a beautiful statement of her love, and I have so much respect for her. I think that she's a very strong woman. And again, this takes it from the perspective of the person who is spoken about in the quote, the person who sees the scars and loves them anyway and wants to be there for them to fight those battles. Victoria, so much love to you. This is a beautiful poem. Pam, would you like to comment?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is one that brings tears to your eyes. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's heartfelt. You know, again, with that raw honesty. And, you know, you can just write in her words, you can feel and see how much she loves her husband and how much, you know, it pains her that he was became disabled. And, of course, you know, I would like to pause to say thank you to her husband for the sacrifices he made in his service.
And, well said, Pam.
I'm really sorry. I just, you know, I'm sorry. Let me just say one more thing.
Yeah.
I really appreciate, no, I didn't mean to say, it's just when I'm on the verge of crying and there's only the two of us, but I know people are listening in and I'm trying to hold myself together, I probably end up sounding a little more tense than I actually am. But the part where she says, I didn't sign up this to be the strength to carry you. This was meant to be a partnership that you were unwillingly stripped from. Oh, so she acknowledges that he's lost some of the much of the physical strength and emotional strength he was supposed to have as an equal partner. And so it's a loss that both of them suffer from, and it's a loss that their daughters suffer from. Because young children don't understand, but, you know, they'll grow to understand. It's interesting because I remember one time at a mall seeing a man who was completely paralyzed, like the wheelchair. You know how they have certain wheelchairs where they blow into a tube and that's what moves the wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had one of those, but he could still speak some. But I remember he had three young daughters, or what I assume was his daughters, and he called them to him, and they came right to him. And all I could think was, you know, and I didn't want to ask, but it was like, what would he have done if they decided not to? But, you know, I don't know. It's just, I'm sorry, this poem just really, really moves me. The part I was babbling about was probably totally almost disconnected, except for the fact sometimes I just need to babble. Absolutely a moving poem.
And never apologize for having an emotional reaction. I think that in this poem you can't help but do that. It's so strong in its emotiveness. And one of the great things about poetry is that it does make us feel, and no matter what your feeling is in reaction to it, I think that it's okay to express that. Never feel like you can't.
Absolutely. But I am going to ask you if you could read the next poem, even though you just read this one, so I have an opportunity to blow my nose and stuff.
Yes, of course.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, I lost my place. Just one second, and get back to the list here. Now, this one actually is not for the contest, but it is a carryover and a wonderful poem. So here we go. Beneath the Surface by Lillian Rose. The moment when the mental turns physical, conditional condition turns incurable addiction. What's the difference when your living's irreparable? Unbearable? The suffering unparalleled, the burning incomparable, it stops. But only for a second, leaves me begging. What's the lesson in this guessing without blessings? Take your medicine. They tell you it gets better, but it never does. I wish I wasn't stuck here in the netherworld. And afterward, the act, awkward for putting on a mask, that barely cracks under the tasks, that leaves me drowning when they finally ask if I'm okay, that once a year when they see tears imprinted there, existing all along me, just beneath the smile you see, almost 365. Am I alive? I ask myself if I'll survive. But otherwise, I'm perfect eyes, unsurfaced wise, unlearned and lies. The only thing they see when I pass by are the artful fabrications of disguise. End poem. Thank you, Lillian Rose. This is a tough one emotionally again, where it is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. Being sometimes you're too good at pretending that you're okay, and it means that you don't get acknowledged as going through a hard time, and sometimes you are falling apart underneath that mask, underneath the surface, and then there's the rare time where you can't control it, and that mental anguish becomes physical. You can't help but cry or express it in some way, and then people are suddenly noticing it, and it's a little bit hard on you when you kind of resent the fact that they didn't notice it before, that you were going through so much. I think this is an insightful piece, and I like the use of netherworld, because you can kind of feel like you're stuck in that. Sometimes if you're depressed or if you're ill, you can feel like you're stuck between worlds in this strange kind of limbo. And it's a terrible feeling to be like that. So thank you so much for sharing, Lillian. Pam, would you like to comment?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This is wonderful. I don't know how old Lillian Rose is, but she has a lot of wisdom. She's somebody who knows that it's not easy to keep that mask on, and and sometimes it cracks. She's got some wonderful rhyme in here, and I noticed a little bit of inner rhyme along with the end rhyme. I like the question. What's the difference when you're living irreparable, unbearable, the suffering unparalleled, the burning incomparable? It stops, but only for a second. And I really like that she put "it stops" in its own line at the very end. It's creates a kind of a physical drama, or I don't know if physical is the right word, but you know what I mean? Like the physical placement of the line works with what's being said. And
agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. And afterward, the ACT Award for putting on a mask that barely cracks under the task. And that kind of the whole idea of trying to keep up that facade of I'm okay. And I really like how you mentioned the idea of wondering, how did they not notice in the first place? So just an excellent write all the way through, emotive and strong and very well done.
I completely agree. And, I feel like sometimes people who are suffering themselves or who have are really good at recognizing it in other people. So it's hard for them to understand that other people don't. I have this one friend, Krista, who is chronically ill, and she can always tell when I'm not feeling well. No one else will notice, and she'll just look me in the eye and say, "It's a bad day for you today," and she just knows. And I feel like sometimes we need that person who recognizes it.
Absolutely.
I think that we have an audio for Six of Diamonds.
All right, let me go ahead and mosey on over. And let's see here. We've got Central Permanent Collaboration, Jeff Graham, Chris Jacobs, Mark Lupi, and nope, Six of Diamonds did not make it in. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, I was on speakerphone. I didn't mean to be. All right, that was a last-minute addition, so that's probably why. We'll just read it for her. Them. I don't know why I think it's a girl. Okay. The Calling. We were just kids when we fell in love. It was as if some other girl seized my body like a marionette and flirted outrageously. She sat right down in his lap. Though we just met, right there in the cafeteria, in front of all, the stars exploded, the heavens moved. I knew him instantly. He knew me. Two souls collided, fire and air, water and ice. He called me honey so often, people thought it was my name. His family, staunch Catholics, decided to hate me, passionately. They called me a girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Heartbroken, sobbing, I'd sit in the window seat upstairs, land of hungry ghosts, where an angry old man raged on, though he'd been dead for decades. Bones aching as we were kept apart. Here, lethargic, in my weighted summer sadness, I'd slip into this odd space in between times, like a silver mirror, a lens, magnifying someone else, sharing me for a moment, showing me other times. It was like watching scenes from her life, played in black and white, unfurling frame by frame like an old silent movie. It was wartime, and like me, she'd been in love, and like me, her parents didn't approve. Her heart was golden, fit to burst. Today, she was to see him from the window only. She was confined to her room, and this, her window to the world, was to be a parade for the soldiers come home from the war. She just knew she'd be able to pick his handsome form out anywhere. My skin prickled. Sweat gathered on my upper lip. I came back to myself, comforted. By a ghost? The black smoke of my nature kept me awake at night. Lights kept on. Dark shadows stood watching me. Fear itself walking in the night. Third eye open. I saw too much. There were two jaguars. Mated. A portrait in the living room. They made me think of us. His dark form crouched over her protectively. But that picture scared me. It carried something of a darkness. I was too young to understand then. In time, he became my lover, my water dragon, my protector in the night, my umbrella over my light. I owe him my life. Nature didn't play around here. This was serious. A shadow nation. Portal was open on Green Street. Magic was alive. Ghosts were real. Evil walked. Two ancient oak sentinels, trunks riddled by sacred scarab beetles, marked this house. I saw them and understood nothing. And such was my initiation into love and magic, good and evil, shadow men and angels, the perils and fear of madness, and the things that go bump in the night, hidden by a gray protector and people who weren't all good or all bad. There were witches and mystics and unprotected, awakened ones like me, kept safe through sheer luck. People like me, we're old even when we're young. We grow up fast or we don't make it. Our power to heal spirit granted in our courage. We ride this line between layers of the world, one foot in both. End poem. I thought that was some great storytelling. I felt like it had potential to be a longer story of this girl who has the connection to the spirit world and the other side of magic. I really liked the window being that frame. The land of hungry ghosts. was a really interesting way to put it. And to have that be the spot where she sees them and where she sees the world as she's kind of locked away in her room in that window seat. And there's something wonderful about a window that has that seat built in. I've always loved those. So to have that be her spot where she gets insight into the other realm is really interesting to me. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is wonderful storytelling. And I don't know if I would have made this poem or this story part longer, but I would definitely add more chapters because I think that's oftentimes a better option and keeps people's attention more, like especially if you can leave them hanging on the end of one part and then, you know, provide a link to the next one when it's created. This definitely has potential. And I really like, even though this wasn't originally written for your contest, it still fits with the show's theme, but does so in a storytelling type way with the whole idea of, you know, finding that magic within yourself and within throughout the world and realizing that, you know, there's more to you than just that a girl on the wrong side of the tracks. And I like how it's that mixture of magic and reality. Just absolutely, yeah, an excellent write. Very well done. And I do have to say, there's got to be something about people who love reading and window seats, because I'm the same way. I remember back when I was about 12 years old going to visit my mom in Cleveland, Ohio, and the people she was living with had a room that was basically their library with, like, their bookshelves and a window seat, and 90% of my time was spent there. And
That's the dream.
Right? Exactly. Someday, Ephesiana, as an adult, I will have a room like that.
I love it. You know, it's funny you said the thing about having another chapter, a part two that you link to, because this next audio is actually part two to something that we played 2 weeks ago, which is a collaboration. We had done Who You Want to Be as a spoken word / rap. And originally there were some singing parts interwoven, but it ended up being too long. So Tans, being the master that she is, took out the singing parts and put them into a separate piece, which we have for tonight. And it was originally part of the other one, Who You Want to Be. So this is the part two of Who You Want to Be by the Disabilities Group.
Very cool. And you ready for me to push the button?
Mm-hmm.
Of a spirit born to cry. Yeah, God, it's real to me. It's really been set free. Spread my my world, the very reason that I breathe. But see, I know there's more to me. Finding a way out, it ain't easy as it seems. But it's something that I dream. Yeah, I dream about who I wanna be, who I truly couldn't be. Before the demons came along and stole that precious part of me. Yeah, I dream. I dream about who I wanna be. A new reality, my capability, raising full capacity. A storm across the ocean, I wanna be shit free. I wanna live my outflow as perfect poetry. Down the margins of this world in synchronicity. Dreaming not that she desires.
Robinson, Tans, and then me at the end, and the beat was by Rams Beats, and Papa Mama Jamma kind of got us started on this, because he asked me who I want to be, and it just became a thing. you know, we get off on tangents. I really loved what the other people wrote. I thought that in Rebecca's the treehouse with no limits is something powerful, and it's not about things, it's the minutes. And that's so true. It's not about your possessions, it's about the time that you have and who you spend it with. I really liked when she said, maybe someday I'll be better than okay. Because we get stuck in survival mode, and sometimes all you want to be is someone who can just live and be in the moment and not just be struggling to survive. And then with Tans, it really touched me when she was talking about how she's always been kind of someone else's, saying that spent my whole damn life being some man's property, becoming a mother at 14. So her kids have been her whole life. She didn't have teenage years or young adulthood where she had any kind of independence or freedom. And I love that she acknowledges that, like, she loves her kids. They are her whole world. It doesn't mean that she doesn't love them, that she wonders what would life have been like if she hadn't been a mother so young. And I like that she has that balance of both. You know, she can love her family and still wonder who she is outside of that. I was so honored to work with these two. I think that they both have beautiful voices and beautiful ideas. I absolutely love writing with them. Pam, would you like to comment?
Oh, absolutely. This is another stellar collaboration from you all. Just beautiful and emotive. I do like this all the way through, Becca, with the lines of who you want to be, and also, wipe my fog glasses clear, make the worry disappear, pave a new frontier, young and naive me, worked to the bone, I thought a skeleton, with a paving stone, but Lone Star in a catacomb. And, you know, I really like that because it's like this the idea that that sudden realization that you don't have to be a sacrifice for other people's happiness, or even you don't have to make yourself into either, you know, like a physical or emotional skeleton. I, too, was drawn to the part about where Tans talks about being a mom at 14, but then, you know, wonders about, you know, what else could she, or even maybe kind of points out the idea that there is more to a woman than what that quick glance that you see. And I really like the dream, a dream, a dream, but who I want to be, a new reality, my capability, raising full capacity. That is very powerful and affirming line. Let's see, there's and of your part, I mean, wow, let's see, color-coded candy-scented ink. Well, your part is really hard to separate because, you know, the whole thing works together so well. But, you know, that I have to say it's great all the way through, but the second part of yours I really like. Color-coded candy-scented ink in curly cursive with detailed to-do list, boldly self-coercive. That whole idea of, you know, holding yourself together and you know, with those to-do lists and being yourself with those candy-scented markers. You know, just the way that almost, it's almost like a, I want to say not childlike, but there's almost a fun, like they're, you know, not caring about what other people think about candy-scented markers, that you're going to use them because, heck yes, you like them, but, you know, just a wonderful write all the way through it, and kudos to all of you.
Thank you.
Technical question real quick is, so there's websites where you get beats from and all you have to do is like in your AN or like verbally on the show acknowledge where the beat came from? Is that how that works?
Yes. We use RapChat to find our beats, and in that people upload things with the intention of other people using it. So, like, within that app itself, you can record on the beats, and it automatically, in that app, embeds their name into, like, your file. So, like, say, if I post to SoundCloud from RapChat, it will say, made by blah, blah, blah. Like, whoever did the beat, it includes that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. Like, Rebecca's husband does some stuff with beats, and WizKid, what's his other name? I don't know, I'm going to say Wiz. he's playing with doing his own beats. So it is our goal that eventually we're going to be working on some beats that are made by people in the group. But for now, I'm using RapChat.
Okay. Well, that'll be awesome when you get a chance to have people in the group start doing the beats.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I do not have that skill, I have to admit.
I mean, it's probably skill and also having the right equipment, too, I imagine.
I do think that that is part of it. Although I'm supposed to be getting stuff at work. We got a sound booth and a microphone and a keyboard, and I think we might end up getting more stuff that I can actually, like, learn how to do this thing.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a rentable space, and it's for the public. It's not, like, for me to use at work, but I'm totally going to book some time in there. For training purposes, you know.
Absolutely. For completely professional reasons. Would you like me to give this next one a read?
That'd be wonderful.
All right. This is My Head Lays by Debbie. And it goes like this. Home is where you lay your head. My head wakes up in my bed. My bed is filled with love like my home and heart, to be comfortable in it, to be happy in it. When you walk through the door, you will be asked, do you want a drink or want me to cook you something? To be able to walk to the fridge without scolding, to be able to just sit and watch a movie without interruption. Why? Because it's my home. It's our home. In order to be happy, you must have a happy home. Thank you, love, for the happiness and the love. Without it, we would not have that happy home. End poem.
Great read. Thank you, Pam. And thank you, Debbie, for writing this. This was for Dexter's contest for our Double Helix show last week about what makes your home home or what is home for you. And I feel like Debbie has probably had some people who she lived with in the past who didn't click well. You know, I've had some roommates I didn't get along with or things like that, or relationships where they were very critical, and it never felt like home was the relaxing place because you didn't have that. So I really liked when she pointed out, like, without scolding, without interruption, like, where it's your no judgment zone where you can just be. And I think it's important to recognize that you have a home when you have people who you feel totally comfortable with. So I thought that was cool. I mean, maybe a bit unrealistic if you have kids to have, like, you know, that perfect never interruption for TV and stuff. I really enjoyed the way that she kind of acknowledged that her love is someone who will just let her be at peace.
Yeah, I have to agree. I did like that ending with the where it says, thank you, love, for the happiness and the love, an acknowledgement that the two of them work together to make a happy home. Now, I do think that the do you want a drink or want me to cook you something might be a bit of a fantasy, but, you know, I do like how she does bring up, you know, that to be able to walk to the fridge without scolding. I know from my own experience in talking with other people that oftentimes criticism of what you choose to eat and when you choose to eat often plays a part in emotionally abusive relationships and controlling relationships. So I think that's an important part that she brings up, and it's very well done.
I agree. I think that there's, like, a shaming that sometimes happens, or that controllingness, that it's really good that she kind of acknowledges that, and that she now feels like she has a home where that's not a thing. So, good observation. This next one is from the same contest, Dexter's Home Contest, and it's by Chris Bond. What is home? When the key turns, the door opens out of the cold, the dog wags a hello, and you cross your own threshold. When you drape your coat on the same chair, look up at the cobweb in the corner that's always there, the sofa you all three divide, view of a partially tamed garden, your own little world outside. The bricks and mortar you own, the tiny place of planet Earth you call home. All comforts are close at hand. Clutter may be the word for outsiders of your clan. End poem. I really liked the part at the end, the all comforts are close at hand, and clutter might be the word of outsiders of your clan. I relate to that because I like to have, like, all my stuff, like, around me. I tend to, like, when I'm doing the show, I have, like, this, like, circle of things, like, my papers and my computer and all the things are, like, I'm on my bed and they're, like, around me all over the place. And most people would be like, look at that junk. You have crap everywhere. But for me, it's, like, I like to have it all, like, right there. So it's available if I need it. And I just really related to that, that sometimes your clutter is your home. And I liked that it talked about, like, the dog wags a hello. I don't have pets, but I'm jealous of people who do, because there's this enthusiasm that pets have when you come home that makes you feel like so like loved and welcomed. It's like that automatic like, oh, you're home kind of feeling. Well, I mean, maybe not all pets, but in my experience, when I go somewhere with someone, then they have their pets greet them. There's such like this like uncontrollable love of like, yay, my human's here. And I think that that's definitely something that someone could associate as home. Seems beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is absolutely wonderful. And yeah, my Bella girl does that thing where she just bounces up and down and wags her whole entire back end and just, you know, oh my goodness, she's so delighted to see me. So I can definitely relate to that part. And I do like how, let's see, the other parts I got, well, this is wonderful all the way through, but the sofa you all three divide, view of a partially tamed garden. You know, I like that he brings up the idea of a garden, because that's something a family can work on together. And I don't want to assume that this is a family with a husband, a mother, and a child. It could be three roommates that see each other as family. You know, but either way, it's three people who have created a family unit, and together they just take time to love one another and take time to work on a garden together. And then I have to agree with you that part at the end where it mentions the clutter. And, you know, I feel like the reason that clutter exists is not only to have the comforts of home close at hand, but because this family unit is taking more time for each other than for cleaning or keeping things perfect. And because that's more important to them. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Well said. And it does. It sounds like my kind of home. This next one should have an audio, I hope, by Mark Loopy.
Yes, I remember seeing that one. I like Mark's audios, though I kind of miss him calling in. He has such wonderful comments. But,
agreed.
All right. Yeah. And let me find that. Here we go.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I think the blood flows from my mouth and from my eyes. Three red flowers have replaced the fleshed out human face that you thought you knew me by. Nobody cares, nobody tries. There are still expectations. Nobody, 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 nobody gives explanations. Oh no, oh no, I've feel the blood flow in my body, in my arms. I can feel a final flowering. Something is devouring the silhouette you thought you knew. Nobody hears, nobody sees. There is nothing left to love. Nobody, 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 nobody worth thinking of.
Thank you for that audio, Mark. I appreciate you submitting the SoundCloud. Although we do miss you here for comments, like Pam said, and I hope that you'll call again soon. I think you said you're calling for Thursday's show, so that's always awesome to have you around. I think it adds an extra element to it to have it be a song that you perform. There's a lot of repetition of nobody, and there's a very key word here. It's like that there's a loneliness there, and there's that absence of somebody to connect with. So I should actually say what quote this is from, since this is, shut down my window. sorry, just one second. So this was for the Amanda Lovelace contest. I said costume. I'm losing my mind. Not costume. Contest. And that one was for last week's show. I'm just pulling up the contest so I can give you what that was too, because that gives context that's important for the poem. So that was to the quote, "We pretend until our teeth disintegrate and our gums bleed from the effort it takes to smile it all away." So there's this thing about having to fake that it's okay, and nobody sees that you're, like, dying inside. And I think that he does that really well with the nobody sees, nobody, where does he say that? Nobody cares, nobody tries. There was something somewhere about nobody sees. And it's just like nobody's recognizing the true feelings. And nobody's trying to connect and to help and to see what's below the surface. So I felt very sad with this, because it really touches on, like, a flaw of society and the loneliness that can come of that. But it was very well done. Thank you, Mark. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a wonderful performance. I did like the repetitiveness of nobody, 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 because it adds to the depth of the write and the sadness. And it's interesting how the tone of the singing really makes a difference, because you look at these words and how it talks about the blood flowing, and the way he sings it in such a mournful way, you feel like this is a person who's sad and suffering and maybe even filled with some regret. But if you changed up the tone, like if it was done like in a heavy metal type way, like the song "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor," totally changed the way you view the words. I do like how I really felt there was an interesting metaphor in the three red flowers have replaced the fleshed out human face that you thought you knew me by. And, you know, I can't help but think of, like, we were talking about numbers earlier, how the number three representing the Trinity and the red flowers maybe representing the poppy field. And it's almost like, I don't know, it feels like to me, and obviously I'm often wrong in my interpretations, I still like to interpret it feels almost like putting somebody up on a pedestal, putting them up on a level of near worship, when all along what they simply were was a human suffering, just like you, just like anybody else. I also, as far as rhyme goes, oh my goodness, I can feel a final flowering, something is devouring the silhouette you thought you knew. That is an excellent stanza there. On a technical level, I don't know if technical is the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is great, but the way that one flows is just beautiful and spot on. So excellent write and very well done.
You know, I agree with you. It's like there's a structural is not the right word either, but, like, you know, the way that
yeah,
it
I want
is
to say
presented.
Structural integrity, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of is. It's like, you know, when we're building a poem, there's like the way that the bricks of the words are arranged, where it holds up and it's sturdy yet beautiful. It's like architecture, you know, the architecture of writing. I gotta figure out my words for that, but it's a thing. I know what you mean. It's like, on the one hand, we appreciate the emotional side. On the other hand, we appreciate the intellectual side. But the other element of poetry is the way it's all arranged with its rhyme and its meter and all of that stuff. And that part really flourished with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this next one I think is going to be emotional, so brace yourself.
Okay.
If it's the one that I'm thinking of. Yeah. Okay. Because It Is You by Random Words by Jake. It's been a month since you left us. Also the last time I wrote a poem. I thought I lost the passion in writing, but I realized it was you. February 16, 2021, 9 p.m. A friend asked me to write a random poem. I was only thinking about you, so I wrote an unfinished poem. One more shot. You taught me so many things, even though you don't always speak. You are part of my everything, and I want more time with you. We fought so many battles, and this will be one of the hardest. I'll fight for you until the end. Just let me have one more shot with you. The next day, I never thought that it would be your last day. I was hoping you can still read my poem. I was hoping it will give you hope to continue. I never had the chance to give you the poem or read it to you. Do I regret it? The answer is no. I remember playing my songs in the car. I remember telling you my radio guesting. I remember singing random lyrics to you. So why only now? Because it is you. I want to tell the world how great you are, but I can't find the words to describe you. I'll try my best to share you. You are a man of few words, but the moment you talk, it is always a real talk. A perfect example of the Filipino statement, Makuka ka sa tingin. I was 7 years old when you taught me to fix Christmas lights. It was fun, yet boring and time-consuming. But you taught me to be patient in fixing things, and now I am fixing data of our clients. How about the radio? I remember leaving a meeting because of the radio. You asked me to find your favorite station, because you mistakenly rotate the station knob instead of the volume. After that, we put additional markings on the radio. We love to watch sports and even analyze. There was a PBA draft last time. Knowing you, you will ask me to look at the rookies of Ginebra as if you are part of the coaching staff. You always wanted me to buy two newspapers, not because they have different news. You just want to play the word puzzle. We even answer some puzzles together. After that, I always enter the 7-Eleven store. They have the word puzzle booklet. You even gave me the list of volume that you had, so I will not buy it again. It became your collection. I never had the chance to talk to you on your last day. Not because I am afraid of talking to you, not because I will just cry in front of you, but because I want our last memory to be happy. February 12th, 2021, 2 p.m. It was your late lunch, and you told me what happened to you. You were extra talkative that day. You asked me to turn on the TV to watch basketball replays. You randomly asked about Nene. How was she doing, or if she had a good sleep? You asked how's everyone, and you wanted to make sure everything is fine. My favorite part, we had a good sleep from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. the next day. Nene was so nervous that she had to call the nursing station to check on us. I needed to explain what happened. After that, we can't stop laughing. It was our last laugh together. So many memories we had. I will surely miss fixing stuff with you, even our debate in sports, or even preparing hot water bath on summer. I will surely miss you. I love you so much, Tete. It will never be the same, but I will never forget one of the most important things you said to me. In English, it is your life. I am not your strict grandfather, and you should know what you want in life. What's important is you will not regret anything, and you are happy. In his words, I can't speak this language, so I'm really sorry if I say it wrong. Bahe mo yan, Hindi ako katuld nig lolo mo na mahagpit at alam mo na dapat yang gusto mo basta ang mahanga walakang pagasasa sa huli e masaya ka. For my Tete, I miss you and I love you so much. Guide us every day. End poem. I thought this was a beautiful tribute to her dad. I thought he sounded like a great man. and it really meant a lot to her that he accepted some of the changes in her life that she was worried that he wouldn't. And I thought it was really touching how they did the crossword together, and that she thought about the laughing and how he taught her to fix things, and just seemed like they had a really strong connection. And Jake, I'm sorry for your loss. Pam, would you like to comment?
Absolutely. Yeah, I too am sorry for her loss, and I think this is a beautiful, heartfelt tribute. It's definitely one of those that does bring tears to your eyes. I really like "You Are a Man of Few Words." The moment you talk, it is always a real talk, a perfect example of a Filipino statement. And I don't know what that means, but I'm not going to try to say it. But I know what those kind of people are like. They have few words, but the words they do say mean a lot. And I do like that she brings up those little memories, like being 7 years old and being taught how to fix Christmas light, because oftentimes the way a father connects with a child, and obviously this isn't true for every family situation because they all vary, and sometimes the fathers aren't even around, is different than the way a mother would connect. I like, as you mentioned, that he comforts her with the thought of, hey, you know, I love you no matter who you are, just be happy, be yourself. And you know, the idea that they got that last laugh together, what an absolutely just precious moment to be able to look back at that and have that last laugh and those little memories that you shared together. So absolutely beautiful, heartfelt, and very well done.
Agreed. And it's nice to see Jake writing again. It has been a while, and I guess it's because she has been grieving.
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll see her back again.
I hope so. I do appreciate her and enjoy her.
Me too. I think we have time for one last poem here, maybe two. Pam, would you read the one by the other Pam, Pam 8?
I would be happy to. Let me go ahead, click on the link, get that open, and all right, this is The Invisible Flame by Pam 8, and it goes like this. I feel like I'm having trouble adjusting to creating my new life. My body has spoken. This lie that I am can go on no more. When your own body tries to remind you by inflicting the same pain you endured once before on the inside, the same dormant energy which you experience from the outside by so many others. Have you let them push your essence down into the burning tar brier patches of decay, disease, and despair? I am quietly trying not to once again disappear while simultaneously trying not to burn down everything in my path. I am wrathful now. My body burns from within. Mere condolences tear my flesh and inject poison into my veins. I am a chit-chat survivor. Have a blessed day feels to me like I am the most chaste. You are not worthy of a second of more of my time. TV babies being spoon-fed news and propaganda before regurgitating it back into the world, their own screwed-up spin spun into the sauce. Look around. It's eerie to a fright as I navigate my way through this assorted folly into my bed sheets every night. End poem.
Thank you to both Pams. You know, I think we actually did read this last time. I had it on my list of ones that didn't get read, but it's so familiar in your voice that I'm like, maybe we did.
Well, I know I haven't read it, but I do
no?
see it commented
okay.
on by Phil and MK, so there's a chance it was read on some show.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Well, we'll comment anyway. I know I've read it, but I often pre-read the ones for the show, so I'm just mixed up. I really liked the part, I am quietly trying not to once again disappear while simultaneously trying not to burn down everyone in my path. I really relate to that because I find when I'm upset, I have two things that I do. I either disassociate and, like, hide away, or I just, like, explode. And it's like you either want to be invisible or you want to be, like, really heard, and neither one goes well. So for her to recognize that, and she's trying to not be either extreme. She wants to still exist, not disappear, but not, you know, destroy the earth around her in her wrath. That I respect her being so self-aware. And a chit-chat survivor, I connected that to. Small talk is really not for everyone, you know. It's a difficult thing for introverts and for people. When you're going through a hard time, sometimes the things that are well-intended, like have a blessed day or some just like things that might be intended as kind of how are you, but it's just like kind of like glossed over and they don't actually like seem to genuinely care and be prepared for a real answer, can just dig at you when you're in a bad place. On a more technical level, I love that she uses the alliteration of decay, disease, despair, and then disappear. I think that the way that she has it structured with its like, it kind of goes short line, long line. I can't even put a word to it, but the way I can see it visibly, it's almost like a flow in and out, in and out, that shows a wavering within her. It's like there's like that strength, but there's also the holding back. And I think that that's shown in the structure of the poem itself. Pam, would you like to comment?
Oh, absolutely. I really like this. It's raw, it's honest, it's biting. You know, that I like that it touches on the thought of, you know, that it's either wanting to disappear or trying not to burn down everything in your path. And I have to agree because that would be me, although oftentimes I will choose to slightly pull back and disappear only because when I lose my temper, I can get really mean. And so that's just kind of me, but it is hard to find that balance. And I like that she mentions that. And I also like that she brings up the, you know, the when people say things like have a blessed day or I'll pray for you, it oftentimes feels like that holier-than-thou moment and where they don't really care. You know, and a lot of times you try to accept that people mean well. It's not always easy, especially when you just feel like emotionally on edge. And I really like the spacing of her lines, and as you mentioned, the kind of the back and forth between long and short lines. So very well done.
Agreed. So that's the last poem that we're going to do tonight, but we do have more contests that are open. For the show on Thursday, Double Helix, that I do with Dexter, Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey, our theme is you. The concept of you, is it continuous? Are you always the same you, or is there a past you and a future you and a present you that are different? Your body is always changing. Your memories are always changing, shaping your personality. So what part of you is the authentic you that sticks around? What is the core of you is our question. And then we have the one for the next part sinner, part saint. So that is next Saturday morning / Friday night, depending on your time zone. And that is based on the quote, prison sentence. What will you do when you realize the memories have chains affixed tight across your soul, Part of you is begging for release, looking for a pardon that is never coming, and the other is willing to do life rather than let go. And that's by Alpha Holden, who also wrote our quote that we read tonight. I was going through Alpha's book, so I have a few quotes that I found inspiring myself, and I hope others will as well. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the contest. Thank you to Frank, who is Poetic Picasso, who called in at the beginning. Thank you to Pam for being the wonderful lady on the phones and always having such insightful comments. Thank you to Phil for giving me this time slot of having the show. And I hope that I see everyone soon in more Late Night Poets shows. We do have a show every night and sometimes two. Plus, there are anthologies of poetry that you can buy on Amazon. So check out Late Night Poets. Good night.
Good night, Afasiana. Great show.